Europeans discuss more sanctions on Iran. What effect will those sanctions have?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. European officials meeting in Brussels today have reportedly agreed to an Iranian oil embargo. It's the latest move by the West to punish Iran for its nuclear ambitions. And it allows, and it follows, I should say, a U.S. move to sanction Iran's central bank. The BBC's James Reynolds covers Iran. He's with us now from London with the latest. Hey, James.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. The U.S., of course, has long banned the purchase of Iranian oil, but Europe has not. Why the recent signals by Europe that it's going to change tactics?
Because essentially, it wants to go after Iran where it hurts. There have been a number of sanctions, of rounds of sanctions in recent years against various individuals, against the nuclear program, against the military program. But oil is how Iran gets its money, and it's how the government stays in power. So when EU foreign ministers were scratching their heads thinking, now, how are we really going to make our point made? I think they decided then to go against oil.
Does all this saber rattling, you think, and worries over oil markets just benefit Iran by increasing oil prices?
That's certainly one immediate reading of it, yes. Iran gets more than 60% of its state revenue through the export of oil. And if the price of oil goes up, it gets more revenue. So in that way, bluster, rhetoric, moving up the price of oil benefits Iran. But in the medium to long term, I think there'll be worry in Tehran, because if the European Union starts moving away from Iranian oil, that accounts for 17% of Iran's oil exports.
The BBC's James Reynolds in London. James, thanks.
My pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are lower right now for the most part. Asian shares were mixed today. Warehouse store Costco said today December sales rose by 7% at its stores open at least a year, but that number was lower than expected. Wall Street yesterday, markets were mainly flat. The Dow added just 21 points to end the day at 12,418. Well, time again for attitude check as we take America's economic temperature.
And the latest poll numbers suggest margin of error.
There is somewhat of a disconnect.
It's conventional wisdom.
Our survey said.
Republican presidential hopefuls Rick Santorum and Mitt Romney are scouring New Hampshire today, reminding Granite State voters of their strong performances in Iowa and how their economic policies would bring America out of the doldrums. But some indicators show the economy is already improving and recovering, just very slowly. Today, we gauge how people are feeling about the economy compared with the mood in early 2008. And Frank Newport is editor-in-chief at Gallup, and he's with us now. Hey, Frank.
Good morning.
I want to start with some comparisons on key economic indices, like, say, consumer confidence. Where are we now, and where were we 4 years ago?
Right now, we're still in negative territory, although it has been improving some. Coming into January, it's actually looking a little better. You ask about 08, Steve. The key is it was different. Back there in January of 08, people were rating the current economy as pretty good, where Americans were very negative back there. Is looking ahead, 75% said then they thought the economy was going to get worse, and they were right. Now, Americans are less confident in where the current economy is. However, they're a little more positive about the direction of the economy. So there's some different components going on now from 4 years ago.
What about the jobs picture, Frank? How are people feeling about jobs?
Much worse than they were in January of 08. That's before the anvil had hit people on the head back then. Right now, our job creation index, where we ask Americans, workers, is your company hiring or firing, is at a plus 14, which isn't too bad. But if we go all the way back to January of 08, that was at a plus 26. In other words, in 08, Americans told us their companies were hiring a lot more than they're telling us right now that their companies are hiring.
And the most important problem, Frank, facing the country as we look ahead to this election year, what are people telling us?
It's still the economy. 64% of Americans say something about the economy is the top problem, either the economy in general or jobs. Actually, in third place behind those two specifics is worry about the government. But if we go all the way back to 08, it was totally different. It was still, believe it or not, the war in Iraq that was the top problem as we entered the year 08. By the end of that year, of course, it had shifted, and most Americans said it was the economy. But as we went into 08, Americans were still worried about the war in Iraq and also health care. Relatively few told us that the economy was the top problem back then.
All right. Gallup's editor-in-chief Frank Newport. Frank, thank you.
You bet.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best. The Knowledge Effect.
Shares of Netflix jumped more than 11% after the online streaming and movie renting service said subscribers watched more than 2 billion hours of movies and old TV shows in the last 3 months of the year. Meanwhile, Netflix is producing its own TV shows, releasing its first original series, Lilyhammer, next month. All episodes at once. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains why.
Some of my favorite shows are on at 8 o'clock, smack in the middle of a delightful bedtime ritual of book reading, stalling, and tantrums with my 2-year-old twins. So I've started watching episodes back-to-back on DVD when I've got some spare time.
People are watching when they want, as much as they want.
That's Netflix spokesman Steve Swayze. He says that's why Netflix decided to release all 8 hours of its new series Lilyhammer on February 6th.
You don't want to wait week to week when you can have the next episode right now. You know, we're becoming a society of instant gratification.
Media analyst Ken Doctor says it's not a bad strategy.
Overall, this gets them greater market share because it's going to make a bigger splash.
Doctor says Netflix is also hoping the instant gratification will be enough to lure back some of the 800,000 subscribers it lost last year. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, a Polish art student admitted to hanging one of his own paintings at the country's National Museum. The student said he didn't want people to have to wait 30 or 40 years for his work to make it into a museum. So he went in and put his work on display while security guards were looking the other way. Museum employees didn't notice the student's work for 3 days. They since had it removed. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The monthly jobs report inspires a lot of predictions, but look no more, because here's a preview.
Our best estimate that would be on Friday. The government will report very little change from that 8.6 that they reported in November.
I'm Tess Viglin. The forecast on unemployment, courtesy of Gallup. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.